So with that being said, we're going to dive right into this morning's message. I titled this morning's message, really, Something New. And I don't know if you guys have people like this in your household or in your family where they buy something and they hold on to the box, or they have something and they've had it for years and don't know why they have it. My dad is not here, so I'm going to put a little bit on blast. That sounds bad, but no. My dad is this person. He will buy something and hold on to the box for 20 years. My parents were going through the storage room the other day, and he had a TV box from 2002 and held on to it. I don't know why, but he holds on to things. Not in a bad way. There's some things that he holds on to that mean a lot, like pictures and different things like that. Stuffed animals. He had a stuffed Chewbacca from 1970-something that he held on to. My grandma could tell you all about that. But he holds on to things and sometimes forgets about those things that he's holding on to in the storage room or the storage closet or whatever. But we do the same thing in our own life, right? We hold on to things from our past that hinder us to see our future. My dad holds boxes, buys technology, and holds the boxes because he thinks he's going to return it someday, I think. I don't know. I really don't know why he does it. Sell it. Yeah, George says sell it. But we in our own lives hold on to past trauma, right? We hold on to past hurts. We run through even good things in our life that had happened in our past, and it can be a blinder for us in our future or in our present right now. We can be holding up and digging up the things that we've said or something. How many of you guys have ever gone through an argument and been like 5 minutes later, like, oh man, if I would have said this, I would have won the argument. Like, we could do that in our own lives of, man, if I would have just done this, if I would have just said this, if I didn't hang out with this person, if I didn't make this mistake, then my life would have been completely different. And we're going to be diving into Isaiah today, Isaiah 43. I love the book of Isaiah. If you guys have not read the book of Isaiah, it is a fantastic, profitable book, which is very relevant to today. The things that he says are really echo all throughout time of different, you know, things that he talks about, such as like, you know, here I am, Lord, send me, or whatever. And so we're diving into Isaiah 43. If you guys do not have your Bible, don't worry. We have technology. It's going to be on the screens as well. But if you guys do have your Bible, you can open up to Isaiah 43. I'm reading out of the NIV translation. And 18 and 19 is really we're going to camp today in this message. Isaiah 43:18, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. That is way easier said than done, right? I mean, I can go through my whole life and dwell on some things that I should have done. People I should have talked to. Things I shouldn't have done. Things I shouldn't have said or shouldn't have acted on or whatever. But it becomes a tape in my mind that I can replay of the different mistakes that I've made, the different conversations that could have gone a little bit differently, the different angers that I've held on to, disappointments, frustrations, pain, people leaving, whatever it is. And it's so easy for us to be bound to the past, bound to what we should have done, bound to the mistakes that we've made, the shame, the guilt. God, you don't know this person left. God, you don't know just my relationship with this person is broken. God, you don't know I was wrestling with this. I dealt with that. And it becomes a snare for us. And Isaiah really points something up, you know, points something out to us. You need to forget it. This is really God talking to Isaiah right now. It's like, you need to forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Because the longer we dwell on the past, the more we replay those memories, the more we replay those things in our mind, the harder it is for us to see what God's doing for us right now. And we're all holding on to things. I run through things all the time in my own head. I'm very hard on myself, very negative towards myself. I mean, you can ask my wife. She knows. She's witnessed it firsthand. I'm very hard on myself. There's times at night where I just stay up all night just like wrestling with, man, I just am not the person that I feel like I should be. Man, I'm just not the man of God. I'm not the leader. I'm not the youth pastor. I'm not the friend that I should be, or I just made too many mistakes. God can't use me. I'm not just good enough to be where I'm at right now. And it blinds me to what God's doing right here in our church or in our youth group or here on campus at Kings Valley, because I get so caught up in what happened before instead of focusing on what God's doing right now in our own lives. And one of the reasons why I was stirred to write or to, you know, speak this message is because we started our year off with 21 days of prayer, fasting, and devotion. And God does not have to just move in those 21 days. I believe that. But we get so caught up, and we've done it for, whatever, 10 years now, of 21 days of prayer, fasting, and devotion every January. And if you're like me, you just wait to January till you start reading your Bible. You wait till January till you start praying, or you wait till January just to do that because that's the time we do it. But I wonder if today God's wanting to do something new in our lives. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Verse 19, see, I am doing a new thing. God wants to do something new. I believe that. God wants to do something new in your life. God wants to do something new in your marriage. God wants to do something new in your finances. God wants to do something new in your mistakes and who you are. God wants to do something new. And he's doing it right now. God wants to do something new in our community. I believe that. God wants to do something new in the East Bay. Start a fire for a revival here in Concord. God wants to do something new here at Life Church. Whether it be through life groups or small groups or serving or whatever, God wants to do something new. But it's scary. New is always scary, at least when it comes to our own lives. I want to see God do something new. And I know he will. God is doing a new thing. The life that you lived, and I don't know where you guys are at in your life right now with Jesus or whatever. You could be the oldest Christian in the room, born on a Friday in church on a Sunday, or this could be your first day in service on a Sunday morning. If that is, welcome. Thank you guys so much for joining us this Sunday morning. I'm so blessed to have you here. But everybody's walk is different with Jesus. My walk is different than Chris's walk, than Mike's walk. But no matter where you're at, God is doing something new in your life. I know that. I believe that. He's doing something new. You could be in church every day of your life and God is still going to show you something new. He's going to still show you a miracle. He's still going to move in different ways that you guys have never experienced before. If this is your first time in church, you've never even heard about Jesus, he wants to do something new in your life. You could be wrestling with pain, addiction, guilt, shame, divorce, whatever it is. God wants to do something new in all these situations. So we get so tied up to what's happening around us that we forget who God is, which is why I really wanted to do the last song. You could do anything. My eyes will see your glory. Because we forget that God can do anything. We forget that he's trying to do something new and shape us and to mold us into the men and women he's called, created, and destined us to be. God, you could do something new. Something new in my life. God, I'm tired of dealing with the anger and the bitterness. God, do something new in my life. God, I'm tired of dealing with a broken relationship in my family. God, my son just won't talk to me. My daughter just runs away. My husband just doesn't want to speak to me anymore. God, do something new in that relationship. I know that God's going to do something new. But it's up to you to see it. God's moving. His power is always moving around us. In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, I was going to do this later, but I changed my mind. In Matthew 7, Jesus is talking on the Sermon on the Mount, giving a sermon to a bunch of people standing in front of him and whatever. And in Matthew 7:7, he says, keep on asking, not just ask once, but keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. Everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. And I wonder today if we've just gotten a little too comfortable with just asking. Or just saying, oh, God will take care of it. No. Jesus is imploring us to say, it's so much more than just, you just ask once and you keep going on. You make your request, you ask. There's three things, ask, seek, and knock. You ask, you make your request known. But it's so much more than that. It's just like, God, I need you in this situation. God, I need you to do something in my life. God, I need you to fix this because I'm just tired of doing it right now. God, I'm just tired of walking through the hurt and the pain and the misery. I need you to show up and do something. God, I just need you. We have the ask and the seek. You know, sometimes God asks us to go out and to do something. You know, you might be praying for a new job and maybe you need to take the step of faith and say, okay, I'm going to put my resume out for the new job. Or maybe you're asking for, you know, seeking out wisdom and advice and God's placing people around you, but you just need to go and talk to them. You ask and you will find. You seek, but you ask and it will be given to you. You seek and you will find, and you knock and the door will be opened. The knocking is a deliberate action. It is not just I ask once and it's done. No. If you guys want to see God do something in your life, you have to push. Ready? You have to pray until something happens. That's an acronym. That's very much of a Pastor Mike thing to do right there. You know, you pray until something happens. That's push. I wonder if today, if we want to see something new, that God's asking you just to push a little bit harder in prayer, right? Not to give up and just say, okay, I'll knock once and then everything will change. No. God, I am not moving from this spot. I don't know if you can hear that. God, I'm not moving from this spot, from this prayer, from where I'm at right now until you show up and do something in my marriage. God, I'm not moving from this spot. I'm knocking and asking and believing that you're going to change my financial situation. God, I'm asking and I'm knocking that you're going to bring my son to Jesus. God, I'm asking and I'm knocking that you're going to heal me from this addiction. God, I'm tired of fighting this battle on my own and I need you. And you just keep knocking at the door until the door opens. But it's persistence right there. And you pray until something happens, your life will change forever. I firmly believe that. If you pray like you really want something, it's going to happen. And I wonder if today we've just gotten comfortable with where we're at, that we don't push through. Pray until something happens. If we don't ask and make the request known to God because we're just afraid that nothing's going to change. The hopeless situation. The family member that's in the hospital and nothing's happening. The debt that just keeps piling up. The anger that just builds up. The resentfulness, the frustration, the mistakes, the shame, the guilt. We don't seek after the answers that Jesus called, asking us to seek for. We're not seeking for his calling. We're not seeking like we seek for lost keys that we lose in between the couch. You tear up the whole house to find those keys. You guys remember that Super Bowl commercial last week with a 2B thing or whatever, and just like popped out and everybody's searching for the remote? I see so many videos of that this week of people just yelling at each other because they lost the remote. Anyway, it's a funny commercial. Hilarious. It was so funny to see Chris be like, Levi, what'd you do? The remote. Chris, I didn't do anything. I promise it's a commercial. But we seek harder for those things that we do than that we seek answers from God. We seek harder for things that we've lost in the moment than we do to seek things that will change our life forever from Jesus. Whether it be a broken relationship healed, whether it be an addiction that we've wrestled with for our whole life, whether it be the anger that we've held on to from a past mistake or a past person that's hurt us, a death in the family, a painful situation, losing friends, people walking away, the mistakes you've made. We don't seek hard enough to find those answers. We don't seek hard enough to see Jesus move. And we get complacent. God is doing a new thing. We have to ask, seek with all of our heart. Because if you're really wanting something to change and God wanting to do something new, you're going to go after it with your whole heart. You're going to go after it with your whole time with Jesus. You're going to go after it with your everything you've got. If you really want something for your kids, you're going to seek it for forever. I mean, my parents did the same thing with us. It was, we want the best for you, and you got to get straight A's and do this and do that, because they wanted what's best for us. Ask, seek, knock. Don't forget to keep knocking. We get tired after one knock because nothing's changing. We get tired after two knocks because God's not moving. We get tired after three knocks because it's just a hopeless situation. No, you keep banging that door until God moves. And that's where I found myself in January. Just, God, I'm tired. I need your help. God, I need you to do something new in my life. God, I'm just lost. I'm hurt. I'm confused. I don't know what's happening. And I just kept knocking, and God opened the door. God spoke. And in your life, you could be asking for God to heal situations, to bring finances in, to give you a job, to heal a relationship, but you just stop knocking after once. You ask once and then feel like God's going to ask it, clear it right there, fix it right there, heal it right there. It's the persistence of prayer. It's pushing through, praying until something happens. Because I feel like most of us in here have prayed for something and nothing's happened. We've made our request known to God once and nothing's happened. We're just tired, we're hurt, we're lost, we're broken. But we don't push through. We don't pray until something happens. Today, God wants to do something new. He wants to do something new in your life, in your finances, in your relationships. He wants to do something new in my life every day. And it's up to me and you to see it. And if I'm not spending time in prayer and in worship, building a relationship with Jesus, I'm going to miss the point completely. I'm going to miss the seasons that God is walking me into. I'm going to miss the things that he's trying to develop me in me. Because I'm so caught up in what should have happened. God, you didn't show up when I asked you to heal my mom. God, you didn't show up when I was dealing with this addiction. God, you didn't show up when I was in the lowest lows of my life. We hold on to that past hurt, that past pain, and feel like God's let us down. Push through. Pray until something happens. Put that on a shirt and sell it. God wants to do something new in your life. Are you willing to see it? Isaiah even says that, you know, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. It springs up right in front of you. Do you not see it? Do you not perceive it? In verse 19. Do you not perceive it? Do you not see it? Are you missing the point? Now, the Israelites would go through, this is, you know, this is written to the Israelites. If you guys don't know, the Old Testament is about the story of God redeeming Israel, and the New Testament is about how God redeemed us. Thank the Lord, hallelujah. We are saved, made new in Jesus. Anyway, in the Old Testament, if you read through it, the Israelites would get captured, they'd run to Jesus, God would save them, and then they would get comfortable. They would get captured, run to Jesus, run to God, get comfortable, and then get captured. The cycle repeats over and over and over. And in our lives, we get comfortable. We get held up with addiction. We run to Jesus. Jesus saves us. We get comfortable. We get held up with anger. We call on Jesus, and he saves us. We get comfortable. We fall into depression. We call on Jesus, and he saves us. And it's a cycle that we live in our own life. I live in my life. When things go well, I get complacent. I get comfortable. You know, God's doing amazing things in my life. My life is going on the right track, and then I get comfortable. And then that's where things fall apart. We get comfortable. We fall into the temptations, or we fall into sin, or we fall into bitterness, or we fall into anger. And then we call out to God, and then he saves us. But I wonder today if God wants to break that cycle of repetitiveness, of the constant of comfortable, captured, saved. Comfortable, captured, safe, because he would rather have you say, God, I need you every day. I pray this morning, I pray this prayer every morning I wake up. God, I need you in my life today. I can't go on without you every day. So that cycle does not go over and over and over and over again. Doesn't mean I won't make mistakes because I'm not perfect at all, not even close to it. But then I'm not captured by the guilt. I'm not captured by my shame. I'm not bound to my addictions. I'm not bound to the anger. I'm not bound to the hate. I'm not bound to the pain. Because I'm made new in Jesus. He's doing a new thing. He's making a way in the wilderness, is what it says next. Now, wilderness is really just an open field, right? These shepherds would take their sheep through the wilderness and guide them through it. And in our own life, we can go through seasons where we feel like we're just lost, right? We're confused. We don't know what's happening. My brother walked through this for most of his life. My brother Luke, you know, he grew up, he wanted to be a doctor. And then he wanted to go to the military. That fell through. And then he wanted to do something in sports, got an internship with the Arizona Cardinals, and then went to Enterprise and now is doing back into sports because God is leading him in a different situation. And it's scary to feel like, God, I don't know where you're taking me. I don't know what's going on. And in Luke's journey, in Luke's life, it was, I had this dream, God closed the door. I had this dream, that didn't work out. And then found his passion in being around people in sports and whatever it is. And God kept opening doors, and now he's got interviews with Broncos and whatever, anything like that. But he didn't stop asking. God led him and guided him through his whole life. I'm sure it was frustrating for him because he was the only one that didn't really know exactly what he was going to do when he grew up. He had different ideas, but God led him into something that he's gifted in, that he loves to do, that he's passionate about. God wants to lead you in something that you're gifted in, that you love to do, and that you're passionate about. It could be, you know, playing guitar up here on worship or whatever. It could be talking to people at a coffee shop. It could be anything. Whatever you're good at, God wants to use it. Or even the times of life where it's just confusing, we don't know what's happening around us. God, this situation, this happened. My house got foreclosed on. I just lost my job. My kids won't talk to me anymore, and we're just confused and lost. God wants to make a way to make things better. He wants to take your hand and guide you through those seasons. Take you out of the wilderness and into a pasture, a green pasture. But we have to be willing to let God guide us and lead us in all areas of our life. Because if I guide myself, I'm going to get lost. If I try to make my own decisions, it's not going to end up well. If I try to just take my life by myself and go wherever I want to go, I'm going to be miserable. I'm going to be hurt. I'm going to be frustrated. Because God's created us and designed us for a specific purpose and reason. He's given you giftings and talents. He wants to guide you through the wilderness, through the confusing times. But then also, he wants to provide streams in the wasteland. Now, water is the source of life, right? I mean, you look around, you water your garden, and plants grow, and whatever. Wherever there's water, there's life. And today I just feel like in 2023, a lot of us are just spiritually, emotionally, physically, just done, over it. We're exhausted. We're dead. We need a fresh breath. We need new life inside of us. We need something just to spark a joy inside of us. We need the springs of life that come from Jesus. We need something to refresh our soul and to fill us from our spirit. And that's what Jesus does. In the seasons in your life, when you're lost, but then also when you feel like giving up, God's there to give life. God's there to move. God's there to provide. He wants to give you life. He wants to fill your spirit up with his joy, his peace, his passion. In the seasons where there are deserts, where there's nothing around you to give you joy or comfort or whatever it is, God's there to give it to you. He's doing something new. He's making a way in the wilderness because he wants to guide you, but also he wants to give you life. He wants to take you from where you're at and make you into something new. He wants to give you a new opportunity, a fresh outlook, a fresh outpouring of his spirit. Because he loves you and he cares about you. And in Jesus, we're made new. In Jesus, we're built up. In Jesus, he's called us from dead to alive. In 2 Corinthians 5, Paul writes, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old self, who you were, is now dead. What you wrestled with is now dead. The addictions you held on to is now dead. The pain you held on to, the hurt, the financial strain, whatever it is now dead. Because in Jesus, you are made new. God can do anything. He can heal those broken relationships. He can take you into a new life. He can do whatever he wants to do. But in Jesus, you are made new. You are not the same person you were 10 years ago. I am not the same man I was in high school. Thank the Lord, hallelujah. I was messed up in high school. But God wants to take you and make you new. The stuff that you don't tell anybody that you're wrestling with, the things that weigh you down and burden you, God wants to make new. How you live, God wants to turn it around. What you're wrestling with, God wants to make new. But it's only in Jesus that you are made new. It's only in Jesus that you have life. It's only in Jesus that you have a way. Because he's moving. He's doing something. He wants to take you in your broken self and say, God, I need you. And I feel like today there's just a lot of us just tired of fighting. We're tired of dealing with what we're dealing with. We're tired of wrestling with the pain. We're tired of dealing with the guilt and the shame. We're tired of seeing family members just walk away. We're tired of saying the same request to Jesus of heal this person. We're tired of just saying, I can't do this because I can't afford it. But today, God wants to do something new in your life. And I don't know what it is. I don't know what you guys have been praying for. I don't know what you guys are going through in your life. But I know that God wants to do something new. Because in Jesus, you are not the same person who you were. The old is gone. And the new has come. Paul also writes in Galatians that my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me. That's the key phrase right there. Who loved me and gave himself for me. God gave himself for you so you could have life. Not just here on this earth, but for forever and ever and amen. So you can have a relationship with him in heaven. It is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That's the freedom right there. So I don't have to deal with what I'm dealing with right now alone. I don't have to walk through the pain and the guilt and the shame alone. I don't have to deal with the addiction alone. I don't have to deal with the family troubles alone because I have somebody on my side fighting for me and fighting with me that wants to see something new done in my life. That wants to see this broken relationship healed. That wants to see this thing change. That wants to see financial blessing. That wants to see me make a difference wherever I go. He wants to do something new. And it's not me who's doing it, but Christ in me. So then in that moment, I have the freedom. I have the freedom to jump. I have the freedom to sing. I have the freedom to dance because I am saved. I'm redeemed. There's no mistake that I can make that will ever cut me off from the love of Jesus. For I'm convinced that neither angels love of Jesus for us. I'm convinced of you. like Jesus, to have a little bit more grace, to have a little bit more compassion, to have a little bit more empathy. And when life hits hard, to have something fighting with you and beside you. I think we forget that sometimes, that God is doing something new in my life, but He's also by my side fighting with me. But it all comes back to, nothing's going to change until I seek God. Nothing's going to happen until I pray to Him. Nothing's going to happen until I knock. Nothing's going to happen until I do this. Nothing's going to happen until I just keep going. When I push, pray until something happens, that's when God shows up. That's when the miracles happen. That's when breakthrough happens. That's when revivals fall through or happen. Start. So keep praying until something happens. I wonder how our lives would look if we prayed until something happened. If we believed that God was trying to do something new in our lives and we sought after God. If we prayed until something happened. If we asked God. If we knocked at the door until something happened. Until the door is open. Until the relationship is healed. How would your life look? Now, it doesn't mean everything we pray for is going to get granted in the way that we expect it to. But God's going to move and show up in a real radical way. And I believe that. Because He wants to get a hold of our life. He wants to change us from the inside out. He wants to make us new, a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Today, what are you asking for? What are you dealing with? What are you wrestling with? What are some things in your life that you're like, God, I'm just tired and I'm done and I need You to do something new? Sound completely crazy to you. It could be healing somebody who's on their deathbed. It could be giving me a financial blessing that I need to get out of this debt. It could be letting go of anger and guilt or whatever. But you have to ask. And God's going to give you what you need. He wants to do something new. Are you willing to knock at the door? Are you willing to go through until something happens? Are you willing to push and fight until something happens? Even when it feels like nothing is changing, even when it feels like the situation is just getting worse, when the person is getting sicker, are you willing to fight through and pray until something happens? Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing in your life today. God wants to do a new thing right now in your life. And I believe that. Because He can do anything. So why don't we just ask Him? Why don't we seek after Him with all of our heart? Why don't we knock on the door until something happens, until something changes, until the door swings wide open and people are healed, revival happens, financial blessing happens, relationships are restored, your broken heart is mended. Instead of just living with it and cycling through the guilt, cycling through the shame, cycling through the addiction. Because I know God wants to move. God wants to do something. It's up to you to take that first step. It is up to you to say, Jesus, I need You. I can't. I wish I could, but I can't. Because it's Your relationship with Jesus. But I do know this. His plans for you are so much greater than anything that you can ask or dream or imagine. Start seeking, asking, knocking at the door. See, I'm doing new things. We're going to go back into that third song, Welcome Resurrection. Welcome Resurrection, third song, Chorus Bridge. But I really want you to get personal with Jesus and say, God, what am I holding on to in my past that I don't even realize I'm holding on to? God, what new thing are You trying to show me in my life right now? God, what new thing are You trying to relieve me from? God, what old thing that I'm wrestling with are You trying to just make new? God, what spirit are You trying to put in me to just start a revival or talk to people, whatever? God, what thing are You trying to do in me today? What are You trying to show me? What are You trying to do with me? Maybe it's like, God, heal this person. God, I need You to do this in my life. God, I need You to do this for my kids. And you just need to sit and ask or knock and pray without ceasing. Just keep going until something happens. Push, pray until something happens. And I want us to get a little uncomfortable this morning and firmly believing that God's going to do something. I'm not saying you need to like scream or shout or pray out loud or whatever you can pray. but I believe that nothing's going to happen until you make the request. Nothing's going to change until something, until you say something. Whether it's the, you know, with us, we pray with you, or if you just pray with Jesus by yourself. But I, as we go into this last one, I just want us to just wrestle with what God's wanting to do here. What God's wanting to do through us today. What God wants to do through our prayers and through the situations that we're going through. Because I believe that he wants to do something new, but we just have to be willing to ask and seek and talk. God, I thank you for your grace and your mercy that you so freely give. God, I thank you for new. God, I see that the old is gone and the new is coming. We are new creations in you, Jesus. That we are, do not have to wrestle with the same guilt, the same shame, the same pain that we've dealt with our whole life, God. I pray that you continue to do new things in our life, God. But I pray more importantly that we see it. I don't want to miss what you're doing right now, Jesus. I don't want to miss the miracles that you're going to get ready to do, God. I don't want to miss the revival that we can be part of, God. I don't want to miss the healing that we can do. I pray that you show us and guide us and lead us. Show us the new things that we don't miss. Show us what you're doing in our life, Jesus. But God, I pray that we see you, God. I pray that we ask you, God. I pray that we knock at your door until something happens, Jesus. Because you can do anything. You're the God, yes, you're the same God yesterday, today, and forever. God has parted the Red Sea, raised Lazarus from the dead. You can do those same things today, here in 2023. So I pray that we continue to make our requests known to you. God, I pray that you continue to mold us and to shape us into the men and women called to join us. I pray for a new thing in our lives. There will be a new thing in your marriage, a new thing in the addiction, a new thing in your anger, in your guilt, in your shame, in your pain, whatever it is. God, I pray for a new thing. I pray for chains to be broken, God. I pray for eyes to be healed, God. Eyes to be opened, hearts to be mended, Jesus. Broken relationships brought back together, God. We pray that we seek you every single day of our life, God. We can't do this without you. Thank you for your grace and your mercy that you give me yesterday. And thank you for your grace and your mercy that you give us tomorrow. Continue to shape us and hold us. Men and women you've called and created us with. And let us pray for a new thing and see it today, Jesus. Let us pray for breakthrough and see it today, Jesus. Thank you for all the things that you've done and all the things that you're going to do. Let us honor you in everything that we say, we think, and that we do. In your mighty, wonderful name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. So as we go into this last song, y'all can stand if you want or you can sit. I don't care. Get comfortable. I really don't care. I just want you to ask Jesus for something new today. Ask Jesus to change the situation. Ask Jesus, you know, for that request that you've never even talked about. Ask Jesus to heal your family. Ask Jesus to bring back people into your life. Ask Jesus to get rid of the guilt and the shame. Because he wants to do a new thing, but you have to be willing to knock at it. Knock at the door. And I wonder how your life would look today if you actually started right now and for the rest of your life and just use that principle to ask, seek, knock, push through until something happens. Because I know he wants to move today. I know he still moves today. I mean, you look at Asbury with the 8-day revival. God is still moving today. God is moving here in the East Bay. And he wants to move in your life. So as we go into this last song, pray, ask, seek, whatever it is, make your request known to God. Because he wants to do something new today.